Guys, are you ready to heat things up this Christmas? Go with a win-win this year. Something that'll make her feel hot and heat up your holiday too. How? Super warm, world-famous hoodie footy from our friends at Pajamagram. The hoodie footy is the ultimate solution to get her hot when she's freezing cold. It combines the warmth of a hoodie with the coziness of footed pajamas. She's going to love it. Go to Pajamagram.com today. Use code SAVE10 and you'll save $10 on adult-size hoodie footies when you use that promo code SAVE10. That's Pajamagram.com. SAVE10. Tell them AJ Hoffman sent you.
The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Nick's Place for the annual ESPN 97.5 Christmas Party. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
God, Giannis is just, that's a freakish dude. He's terrifying, because you're right. All the things that were wrong with his game are getting better. And you can tell that he's just, he's a guy who's going to continue to get better. And he's already so good at pretty much everything. Now he can shoot. The league's in trouble.
I have a couple names here for you that actually have something to prove over the last two games for their futures next year.
Okay.
Senior Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh, yeah. That's an obvious one.
I kind of feel like, maybe I'm wrong, I think the Bears have already made up their mind here. All these rumors about Tom Brady or Cam Newton or fill in the blank.
But a lot of those also are very dependent on what other teams decide to do. But I do think that's the kind of team who I could see, if they have a strong finish, which I don't anticipate, but if they did, I could see that guy earning another shot. But when you draft a guy that high, he's going to get extra chances.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll read it. It gives him a chance to participate and feel like he's not useless. So help him out. There's Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at the producer Nick, at Degenerates975. I think that's all the Twitters that I can possibly do. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. You missed the first 2 hours. Well, you missed a fun show, and you missed a great time out here at Nick's Place, but there's still time to come out here, win some stuff, and enjoy yourself. And a lot of people responsible for today, and this is always one of the most fun things that we do. It's, we do the Listener Appreciation Party. We also do this. Those are probably our two biggest, and it is just a matter of we love you guys, and we love to put on stuff for you. And Courtney outdid herself with this one as usual. I want to thank our raffle sponsors, Garden Grace, Lock Bar, Ozu Bay, Union Kitchen, Jack's Grill, Nympha's, Movietopia, Mardi Gras Galveston. I want to thank Klein's Fine Jewelry for hosting this morning, as they have done every year. And, of course, Nick's Place. And Nick is here, so you get to meet the legendary Nick if you're running around. He's outside right now. But I love coming here so much. This is for the longest time, this was the only bar I went to when I lived across the street.
This was your spot. This was your hangout.
Yeah, this was home. And so I always, it's kind of like when I come here, I feel like I'm coming home. When I go to the racetrack, I feel like I'm coming home. But this is
everywhere but your house.
Yeah, like I do not feel at home there. Well, that's
right.
Sometimes people don't make you feel at home.
That's right.
They make you feel
it's
like
because your wife changed the locks. I don't know what her problem is.
That was one time, maybe twice.
I don't know what her problem is.
But anyway, it's been a great time so far. We'll have RJ and friends at 6:15. And, come on out. You can still meet Jerry Bowe. He's running around out here. And several other famous people.
I'm guessing RJ feels really good about his best bet of the week. And I don't. And he's back in the lead because
I
pushed last week.
Well, and last week for me was my chance to be right and him wrong, and it didn't happen. So I'm sure I'm going to take a beating for that, although this is the first time that I think we've gone against each other and he's beaten me, but that's okay.
Yeah.
It came at a big time. So Ray-Ray's in the house.
Ray-Ray in the house.
Ray-Ray, another original blitzer.
Ray-Ray is one of the originals.
Yeah. Well, so's Donna and Crystal. Yep. I mean, they've been there from the beginning, back on the Facebook page days. So there's that. And you know what? They, for some reason, they still like us.
Hanging around.
Yeah. All right. Well, any thoughts on the Texans game beyond betting tomorrow?
Not really. I mean, I think for optics, which don't really matter to anybody but people like us, this is a big game for the Texans. I think they, you know, they'd like to go in feeling good about themselves into the last week. And the craziest thing is they could potentially go 11-5. And there's no one that would say 11-5 is a mediocre season. And it, while it feels like a mediocre season,
well, if we had said, okay, look at the schedule going in, and even though some teams may not be as good as we thought, wouldn't 11-5 be above what you thought they could do? I honestly thought 10-6 would be a not minor miracle.
And they were 11-5 last year, and I said this is a phony 11-5.
It was a phony 11-5. They had so many games that came down to the wire, missed field goals, goofy things like that.
All that said, back-to-back years at 11-5, it's kind of hard to deny, isn't it?
Yeah, although,
I mean, playoffs are the playoffs, but
right.
As far as what they are in the regular season, you kind of have to give them some props, I guess, if they're able to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to go 11-5. I think they win tomorrow, and then they rest everybody the following week because it's not going to mean anything. They're going to be set in the four seed, so there's not going to be any reason to play Watson.
Right.
Tennessee might be in a place where a win could get them a wild card. So, I mean, I guess the only difference would be if you thought you could knock Tennessee out and would rather play Pittsburgh, maybe you play people in Week 17. I don't know that I would. I'd be more worried about, okay, let's
be healthy going into this game.
Yeah, because there's a good chance. Well, you'd wind up with Buffalo most likely, no matter what. But, yeah, I just feel like it's a
gun to head right now. How do you feel about that Texans-Buffalo matchup?
I think that's a tough matchup for the Texans because when do they struggle the most? Well, outside of the Ravens game and that Broncos game, I don't even know what the hell that was. But earlier in the season, they struggled against the Panthers. They struggled against the Jaguars when they could still play. Teams that ugly it up. And that's what the Bills do. I do think the Texans will be able to run the ball against them. But if they play one of those slow...
Everybody can run the ball against the Bills.
But if they play one of those slow, grinded-out games with the Bills, that's what the Bills want you to do.
Yep.
So I think from a matchup perspective, it's I don't think it's the best matchup. I still like the Texans, but I'm not going to be shocked if they lose that game. I just think the way the Bills play, they're gonna make it difficult on them. But I also think if the Texans can get a lead on them...
The Bills want to play under games.
They do.
Always.
They do. And
the Texans want to play over games.
Well, it depends which Texans team shows up. Sometimes playing those
The Texans team that has a bad defense shows up every week. Well, so for them to win, it needs to be an over game because...
I don't know if it needs to be an over game. I mean, I think if... I could see them winning a 19-10 game because they hold on to the ball forever running the ball. They've done that a couple times this year. I just don't think it's... I don't think it's ideal for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can see a couple of 9-minute drives, shorten the game, make it easier on your defense. All right, 713-780-ESPN. If you want to text the show, so I had one of my backup gems in case we'd gotten to the Derek Lewis story sooner. Kind of a follow up to remember the app I was telling you about that
Grindr?
No, the one where you could hook up with coworkers.
Oh yeah.
Well, the New York Post has a story today. And I don't know if it's going to help this app, but it says flirting with coworkers helps reduce stress, according to a study.
I've also heard that sex with coworkers helps reduce stress in the short term.
Oh, yeah, it creates a lot in the long term.
Long term, it adds to stress.
Yeah, I will just say, not that I know from experience.
But there is a moment where it's like, whoo, that's a lot of stress I just relieved. But then... And usually it happens like about 10 minutes later, it's like, oh, my God, what have I just done?
Or if her husband finds out, that creates a lot more stress.
Well,
you know.
Yeah.
That, I mean, I'm not I'm not speaking from experience here or anything.
Oh, no.
But I'm just telling you.
Not at this job, anyway.
No, God, no, at this job. Listen.
That's a different lifetime.
I learned my lesson back in the day. And I'm not, I'm speaking.
I learned my lesson directly from you.
Well, yeah, and that's because you're smart. But
not because we had sex, but because you warned me against it.
Yes, I did. And, in a different life. I will just say when
you... Didn't you say only have sex with part-time employees because they're a lot easier to get rid of?
No, I did not say that.
Oh.
Because they're more likely to sue you, actually. Really, if you're going to do it, don't do it with a boss or... You'd have to do it with somebody at the same level as you. And that always limits it, right?
And not the HR lady, for sure.
No. I did that once, too.
Luckily, ours is happily married and a nice lady.
And she's too awesome to ever be involved in anything like that, so... But I'm not in any way defending any actions here. I'm just, giving you a broad overview.
Okay.
But in the journalism business. People.
You're working through the sex in hours.
Well, there was a lot of drinking involved, and there just wasn't a lot of options.
Okay.
So, and honestly, a normal five would be a journalism 10. So it's not exactly like you're not hitting home runs here. You're
right.
Hitting solid bunts.
Well, we work in sports radio, so there's not a lot of 10s running around sports radio stations either. I hate to break this to you.
Well,
I want to know what's going on with that guy that's wearing the helmet. Well, he left. I mean,
I'm kind of curious too. There are several things here that if you're a person who likes people watching and like weirdness, this is your place to be. He's out.
Kyle,
he's out. All right, apparently music's playing. We got to go to break so we can get RJ on in time. We'll be back. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Nick's Place. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz, live here at Nick's Place, and now it's time for the best segment of the week with the legend that is R.J. Bell, and also legends like Brad Powers and Steve Bezik, all from pregame.com. Follow him on Twitter at R.J. in Vegas, at BradPowers7, at Bezik Sports, and... guys, what's happening? Hope you guys are having a great time. We certainly are.
Yeah, it sounds like it for you guys there. So I will quick note, no RJ. He's off site. He couldn't even do our show here in studio tonight. So
what's he got going on? Brad, let's open it up to the audience. What's off site mean? What's that even mean?
Those are the words that I was supposed to express to you guys.
All right, well, let me do a better intro then. Time for the legends that are Brad Powers and Steve Fezik, and they work for some other guy who's offsite.
Yeah, he's not here.
Yeah, how's that?
Sounds good. Now, I will say this.
All right, that'll work.
Per RJ, I'm supposed to text him the plays, and he's going to decide by the end of this segment whether or not he's going to give us a pick here.
Oh, geez. So, if we take the best bets, he's just going to pass altogether and pretend like he wasn't here?
Yep. Must be good to be the king.
What a lie.
He's got a good enough lead. He can do that. So.
Brad is here, and I want people to know, Brad and I, we stayed up late last night. We burned the midnight oil, and we created a college basketball podcast, the first of the season. Please tune in to the RJ Bell's Dream Podcast, and wherever you get your podcast, you'll find it there. Brad does a great job hosting it. We've got plenty to talk about, and we're looking forward to doing it all season. So, Brad, appreciate you doing that again this year. I think it's a valuable tool for the people.
Yeah, appreciate you jumping on with me. It was a good start. I mean, I certainly was a little rusty when it came to the handicapping, the throws and whatnot, but we'll improve. Long season ahead of us. We've got a good 3+ months.
Well, let's start with my man. Is Steve there? Is Fezzik there today?
Yeah, he's here.
Legend number
Fez,
two.
Why are you so quiet, Steve?
Brad does such an exceptional job with the media. I'm just, like, taking notes and taking it all in.
You got a big win last week, Steve. You should be basking in the glory. You had Atlanta plus 10.5. It was your big play. You said, I don't even need the 10.5. I don't think you said this, but you were probably thinking, you know what, I'll take Atlanta money line, and boom, look at you. You would have been right had you said it out loud. I know you were thinking it, so you get credit for it. Atlanta wins outright against San Francisco, so the people know you've got a winner this week. What are you looking at, Steve?
Yeah, and I think we should give me 4 wins in the contest for the plus 400 money line.
Like
but I know that.
Yeah.
I know that's not going to happen. I like Miami, the Dolphins, plus 1 against the Bengals. I got to tell you guys, this line shocks me. Miami is as good as Cincinnati. Miami's home, and now Miami's getting points. Miami's 3-4 in their last 7 games, and in fact, they could be 4-3 if they had won the Jets game, and you could make the case that the refs cost Miami that game, and at the end of the game, Coach Flores was running after the refs, clearly upset. This is not a team, Miami, that is tanking or looking to lose games in any way, shape, or form. Fitzmagic is playing at a top level. He's playing like a top 10 quarterback. And what is there to like about the Cincinnati Bengals? 1-13, and their losses, for the most part, they're not close. Their last 8 losses, the Bengals, have been by a touchdown or more. Why the Bengals are laying a point on the road, I can't understand. And you know what? It's the holidays. It's nice in Miami. It's not nice in Cincinnati. I can see the Bengals getting distracted in South Beach as well. I'm all over the Dolphins plus the 1.
Yeah, that's a tough one for me. And you guys can maybe explain this to me, because I'm struggling this week to find NFL games that I like, because it's so hard to handicap motivation for a lot of teams that are out of the playoff mix. And these two teams really have nothing to play for. Even really draft positioning, because even if Cincinnati wins this week and they lose next week and they still have the first pick, do you guys find it harder late in the season to handicap motivation?
It is difficult, and there's a lot of teams. Like, you could look at Jacksonville, for instance. Was Jacksonville going to be upset the fact that this whole collective bargaining agreement that the management has done everything possible to penalize Jacksonville players? Or will Jacksonville be thrilled that Tom Coughlin just got fired and they've gone off Coughlin time where all the clocks are turned forward 5 minutes? It's very unclear.
Brad, I'm guessing you are headed to the college ranks. What do you see in what are you seeing this week?
Yeah, let's go Monday afternoon, Gasparilla Bowl. I'll take the biggest bull underdog. Give me Marshall plus 17.5. You just mentioned motivation. Whenever you got a huge line, what's the motivation for the favorite to get margin? I'm not sure it's there for UCF, especially when you compare UCF's last two bowl opponents, Auburn in the Peach Bowl, LSU in the Fiesta Bowl, and now the senior class gets Marshall 90 minutes away in the Gasparilla Bowl. So are they really thrilled about it? I'm not so sure. What I do think the team that is thrilled is Marshall. Why? This is a Marshall team that has 30 players on their roster from the state of Florida. So a lot of friends and family going to be in attendance for Marshall. And Doc Holliday, he's the head coach for Marshall. Believe it or not, Doc Holliday is the best bowl coach in America. Why? He's perfect. 6-0 straight up. 6-0 against the spread. Average cover by 11 points per game, and I'm getting 17.5 with the best bowl coach with a ton of players from the state of Florida. Yep. Marshall plus 17.5 for me Monday afternoon, Gasparilla Bowl.
I'm with you. I feel like, and maybe there's a question about how motivated Central Florida should be going into this game. They've been in a New Year's Six Bowl the last couple of years, and now they're playing right down the road. It doesn't seem like they should be super thrilled about this matchup. And I think clearly Doc Holliday has something going that he gets his teams up for these games.
Yep. I mean, wins and covers them by double digits. Nothing fluky. And they just played in this bowl last year and beat up South Florida, a team that was playing inside their home stadium. And Marshall took it to them by 14-plus.
All right, Freddie Fowler. What says Fred?
I am not very enamored with any of these games. I do like Fezzik's pick on the Dolphins, and for all the reasons he said. I'm going to take the Chiefs at Chicago. I don't think Chicago has anything left to play for. I like Andy Reid on the road. I think the Chiefs have figured some things out on defense, and the elements aren't going to bother the Chiefs. As long as it stays inside of 7, and I'm getting it at 6 right now, I will take the Kansas City Chiefs.
Fez,
any thoughts on that,
Steve?
I really
liked it. Yeah, I really liked that pick. You know, I've been touting Kansas City for the past, I think, 7-8 weeks about how this is the team that can easily win the Super Bowl. They're my number two team in the NFL, and it's all about defensive improvement. Last year, Football Outsiders, Kansas City, not very good, 26th in the league, in fact, on defense. They're up to 11th. So think about this. That Kansas City defense is now trending towards a top 10 defense. They've held their last 4 opponents to 17 points or fewer. If Kansas City could go to the AFC title game and be 1-4 jumping off sides away from going to the Super Bowl with the number 26 defense, I can make the case their offense is every bit as good this year as it was last year. It's just that they had to play 3 games with Matt Moore and 3 games with Mahomes not close to 100%, and that's why they're 10-4 and not 12-2. Kansas City, very dangerous team against a dead team, the Bears. It's the only side I'd look to.
I don't disagree, and since none of the numbers that none of the games that I wanted to hit a key number actually hit them. I was hoping for the Titans to hit 3. It went the opposite way. It looks like I'm going to go with the Arizona Cardinals plus 9.5. And there are some tens in the market with juice, but I'll take them at 9.5 as a consensus play. Fred, you have the pregame thing up. Is that my number, 9.5?
Which game are we talking about again?
The Arizona-Seattle
game.
Yeah,
it's 9.5.
All right, I'll take Arizona plus 9.5. This is mostly a fade on Seattle blowing anybody out. They've beat one team by double digits this year. Of course, it was Arizona. But I don't see this being a game that Seattle feels like they need to get separation in. And I feel like Arizona's going to be able to score some points. And if they score a touchdown or two in this game, it seems like it'll be easy for them to keep it within single digits. So Arizona plus 9.5, my play this week.
I think that's a real sharp play. And what I really like is the fact you mentioned it. Seattle's only won one game all year by double digits. And that was against Arizona. And then you're immediately thinking, well, wait a minute, is there a matchup edge for Seattle? But if you went back and looked at that game, it was turnover driven. The yardage was almost equal in that game. So I could make the case that Seattle's a little overconfident from that first game against Arizona. And we're probably going to see yet another Seattle close win. Seattle, I believe, 10-1 year to date in games decided by one score or less.
Yeah, and on top of that, AJ, you look at what Seattle's motivation, especially late in the game when they have the all-important game against the 49ers at home on deck in week 17 that could be for, you know, obviously the division title, maybe even for the number one seed in the NFC, depending on how these things shake out the next couple of weeks. And on top of that, I'll give you one more. Seattle's thought to have one of the best home field advantages in the NFL. Last 3 years, they're actually just 14-8 straight up at home, and they're actually below 50% against the spread, falling short by about 2 points per game.
So why you text RJ?
From RJ. Yeah, I got
okay,
some
text
from RJ.
AJ,
you're going to decide between two. So you're getting two. Yeah, and you're going to decide. So I'm waiting for the confirmation.
Make sure
what
these numbers
two games
are good
they
that
are.
He gives me here.
Yeah, you make sure.
You know, while we do that, I want to mention Seattle. That home field advantage really seems to historically have come into play when the game is close to pick 'em or
point.
Seattle favored by a touchdown or less. Seattle is dynamite in those situations. When they get to be like a double-digit favorite or close to it, I know that the numbers are not nearly as good. That 12th man, they take some games off, and those are the games when Seattle is a big favorite.
Okay,
Brad,
first
one
AJ.
That... Oh, okay.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, while we're waiting on that, one of the college question I had for you, tomorrow, the SMU-Florida Atlantic game, I've been saying all week, I bet SMU minus 3 at the outset, and it was the first game, literally the first game I bet when the lines were released, because I assumed that game would jump up to 6, 6.5. It hasn't budged a bit, and every time that it got to 3.5, it got hammered right back down to 3 until today. And now it's up around 8. I see some 8.5s. We saw 9s earlier in the market. Talk about what happened today that suddenly made SMU 5 points better than they were yesterday.
So academic suspensions, injuries, 6 starters in total right now for Florida Atlantic going to be out, including out of the 6 starters, top 3 receivers for FAU, their leading rusher, their leading tackler, who's a middle linebacker, the quarterback of the defense, and a starting defensive end. 6 starters out. That's why that line climbed about 5, 6 points this afternoon.
Any value in the number left, or just be happy that I played it at 3?
Be happy you laid the 3. Probably have to get a little creative now. Now, I will. There's going to be some weather factors in this. Now, looking at it, FAU is going to be compromised. It looks more on the offensive side of the ball with the receivers and the rusher. So if you're going to get at it now, there's going to be some weather. Their offense probably prefer the under, although that total also moved about 4 points today, which I'll be honest with you, Fez, that's what I was looking. Immediately when I saw, I'm late to the party to get some more on SMU, I was like, what's the total? They probably didn't adjust that enough. I was surprised to see that already had hit 4 points as far as the adjustment on the total. You don't always see that real quick. They always adjust on the side before they do the total.
And I think it's a situation where we've got potential weather that's being that's going to impact the game as well. So you've got some guys that are just looking at this game that may have liked it under, and they're like, they're hitting it already, and it's a weather game. I better get me a piece of this as well. So a lot contributing to that strong move on the under.
All right, AJ, here's your choice. You got to decide.
Options.
Houston -3, Skins pick 'em. That's
Skins
RJ's
pick 'em. Where's he getting that number from? What's pregame.com say?
It says pick 'em now. Yeah,
it's pick 'em.
Yeah, it's moved since we talked about it at 5:00.
You know what? I know all the sharp people are on the Redskins. I'll let RJ be with the sharps this time. I'll take Giants at a pick. Well, I'll have him take Redskins at a pick 'em, because that seems more likely than the Texans losing somehow. So RJ picks the Redskins at a pick 'em.
You know, what's interesting is that when you look at we all know the book on must win games. So Houston's in a must win situation. And we know that the markets tend to overreact to those must-win situations, but it's just so darn difficult to fade those line moves. So Houston open -1.5, they're up to -3. And with Winston missing his top 2 wide receivers and the 3rd wide receiver injured, it just doesn't seem reasonable that Tampa Bay is going to win that game. Right, guys?
Not only that, but most of the 3s now are at -120. So I'm guessing it's going to end up higher than it's going to end up more than 3. So I don't want RJ to have the better of a number. I'm pretty sure that Redskins game won't go through the 0. But I know it's kind of square, but I still believe the Giants are a better football team than the Redskins. Even with Daniel Jones, I don't care. I don't trust the Redskins at all. They're a super one-dimensional offense. And when they're forced to be anything but a one-dimensional offense, they turn into a turnover machine. So I'll stick RJ with the Redskins instead of fading the Texans.
Fess, where do you have Giants and Skins in your power ratings?
Yeah, so I've got the Giants, my number 28 team, and I've got the Redskins right there at 29. So virtual dead heat between the 2 teams.
And I would imagine the Redskins don't have much of a home field. They don't have a full 3 home field advantage, right?
Yeah, just 2 for Washington. You know, old RFK was such a great home field advantage, but that new stadium, I forgot the name of
it. FedEx Field.
FedEx Field is just very, you know, you get those luxury boxes where everyone, all these corporations are buying them up and giving it to their clients, and the crowd just is not into the games. And we really saw that when the Eagles visit, for instance. There's always more Eagle fans than Redskins fans.
Before we let you guys go, I wanted to ask you about the Bills and Patriots game tomorrow. And I've been kind of on the Patriots aren't the same team wagon for a while. They offensively, I don't think they're very good. And offensively, I don't think they should be giving up 6.5 points. I think that the Bills, while I know the Patriots are the defense that's going to give Josh Allen problems, I think the Bills can give Tom Brady some problems too. I in a game where I feel like the teams are a lot closer to even than the line says, I like the 6.5 points here, and I don't think I'm going to get a 7, at least not without paying heavy juice. What do you guys see on this game?
I concur with you, and I also think that listening to you that we're on the same page with the under, because if we don't think Josh Allen and company is going to be able to get more than 17 points, and we're very concerned about that New England offense, and Tom Brady has fallen out of the top 20 in QBR ratings. Now Edelman's not 100%. He might be better this week than last week when he only got 2 catches for about 10 yards. Where are the points going to come from the first time these two teams played? Of course, 26 points, 7 of it on a blocked punt for New England. Looks like another 16-10 game. Brad, check that. If it lands 16-10, we go under 37.5, right?
Yeah, I think we do. With some a little bit of margin.
There you go.
And Buffalo games, I mean, Buffalo's been dealing a lot of totals. Already this season, Buffalo's had 3 of the lowest totals in the NFL in any game. And not only this season, we're talking the last 3 years. What did those 3 games do? All went under, including last week against Pittsburgh.
Correlation, I think also, guys, if I told you that Buffalo covered this game, would you want the over or the under? I would want the under. So I'm going to parlay the under with the Bills in a correlated parlay.
All right, guys.
Let me jump in and ask one.
All right.
In fact, since we still have a couple minutes, if that's all right, the Saints-Titans game I'm intrigued by here because Saints obviously coming off the big win on Monday night with the ridiculous performance by Drew Brees. The Titans can still technically win the division. They can also still make the playoffs. I'm wondering if the Texans win on Saturday and they can't win the division, does that affect anything as far as the Titans go? And are we getting – I like the Titans here. Tell me why I'm wrong.
I don't think you're wrong. I don't think the Titans would be impacted by Houston winning just because they know that their path to the playoffs only requires one Pittsburgh loss. And I think all they want to do is get into the playoffs, and they still have a greater than 50% chance. So they're going to go all in. I'm concerned that the Titans are missing their cornerbacks. But I think Brad Powers, you discovered an absolute gem here with New Orleans Saints and specifically Drew Brees. How much experience has he had his last 20 or so games and outdoor play?
Yeah, so in the last calendar year, guys, the Saints have played 18 games. And only one game has Drew Brees played the start of the game and finished it. One complete game outdoors. 18 games. Drew Brees has played one complete game outdoors.
So that's this year and last year. So during the last 12
months. Calendar year, Fest, 365.
There you
go. Self-explanatory. 365 days.
Spot on.
All right, one more I wanted to ask you guys about the Cowboys-Eagles game. And this one, Cowboys -2 I'm seeing now. Obviously, it's for the NFC East. And I just don't trust the Cowboys, but I feel like they've got more talent than the Eagles, who are beat up. But they've also had those performances that just shock you. I do like the Cowboys here, but is there a reason I should back off that?
I think you should back off of it because let's put this in perspective. Let me ask the question. So Eagles and Rams, are the Rams a little bit better than the Eagles or a lot better than the Eagles? What do you guys think?
I think they're – I would say somewhere in between – I think they're 2 to 2.5 points better than the Eagles.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so let's go with that number. So let's use 3.5 points better even. Why not? So last week we could play Dallas, and they were home. They were home against the Rams, and they're catching 1.5. So now Dallas is on the road against the Eagles. They're on the road, and Dallas is laying 2. So there's been a 3.5 point adjustment, despite the fact that Dallas is now on the road instead of home. So what that's saying is that this would have been a 9.5 point adjustment if Dallas was once again at home. Dallas would have been laying 7.5 here against the Eagles. And so you see where I'm going, that Dallas was very cheap last week catching points against the Rams, and now they're very expensive laying points against the Eagles. And this isn't even discussing the fact that there's a free roll here for the Eagles bettors. Dak may not be close to 100%. I know that they're saying, oh, we've taken him off the injury report, Dallas. And here at pregame, a lot of us feel, including R.J. Bell, that this could well be a Fugazi injury report where the mere fact that he's taken off, we should be more concerned that Dak is not right.
All right, great stuff, guys. That's Brad Powers. You can hear Brad and A.J.'s podcast. Just go to pregame.com. And Fezzik is just the best there is when it comes to the NFL. Guys, always appreciate the time, and I look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, sounds good.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, guys. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go to break.
All right.
Or do you have something here, actually?
Oh, yes. Let me tell you about Pajamagram.com. And whoever you're shopping for, Pajamagram.com has something for them. Maybe you're shopping for the lady in your life. They've got plenty of stuff that's super sexy. Maybe you're shopping for your mom or your grandma or your daughter, people that you don't want to give sexy pajamas to. They got something for them, too. Maybe you got kids and you want to wake up and the whole family's wearing matching pajamas. They got that covered as well. They've got something for everybody, including the world-famous hoodie footy from Pajamagram. Combines the warmth of a hoodie with the coziness of footed pajamas. And it gets even better because Pajamagram, everything includes free gift packaging. Everybody loves free gift packaging because if you're a dude, you probably can't wrap a gift. I mean, I'm not trying to stereotype, but it's probably true. And I know I certainly can't. They're backed by a 100% lifetime guarantee, delivery by Christmas guaranteed. You're risking nothing, and they're going to give you $10 off on adult-sized hoodie footies when you use the code SAVE10 at checkout. Pajamagram.com, promo code SAVE10. That's Pajamagram.com, SAVE10. Tell them AJ from ESPN 97.5 sent you.
It's beginning to sound a lot like ESPN 97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Nick's Place for the annual ESPN 97.5 Christmas Party. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz for one final segment. And
it's the final countdown.
Man.
No?
I hate that song so much.
You hate that song?
I hate that song.
It's a badass song.
It is. Do you know how they wrote that song? They used to use that intro just as an intro to their concerts.
Yeah.
And decided to make a whole song out of it. And it's like their only hit.
I like that.
Yeah, you know? But they had some other songs that were decent.
Are you a Baba O'Reilly fan?
I pretty much, other than anything Pete Townsend sings, I love all the Who stuff.
Yeah,
he does sing in that though. Because don't cry, he's got the worst voice in the world. It's only
he sounds like a Muppet kind of.
He does. He sounds like Kermit the Frog.
But I do get stoked when they play that. Like they always play that with like a big montage of people getting their heads kicked in at the UFC. If you go to a live UFC event, they always play that with a video montage, and it's super exciting. It gets you pumped up, and that song always gets me jacked for some reason.
It's a great song to get you pumped up, and it's funny because we were talking about how the Who had kind of disappeared.
Yeah.
Well, Roger.
Well, they had their fourth farewell tour. So,
well, yeah, but they're doing another one.
After you do a fourth farewell tour, you usually just die.
Well, they're doing another one, but the reason they were out for so long is Roger Daltrey had some weird throat thing where he couldn't even talk for a couple years.
Really?
Yeah, and so it's kind of hard to be a lead singer when you can't talk. But
it does make. Seems to be able to do it.
Ozzy can't do anything.
He can't talk, but that dude can sing.
Children of the Great.
Shen! I mean, but then he starts singing, and it's like, oh my God, I can understand what he's saying.
Yeah. Well, that goes back to whole every British guy who doesn't have an accent. When they sing, and then they talk, and they have the most normal singing voice, and then it's like,
well, I first started singing in 1970.
That's part of why I hate British people.
Okay.
Because when they, no one would buy records if they sang in a British accent.
The only one that did were, Johnny Rotten always sang with an English accent, but that's about it.
Right.
All right, let's do stupid stuff.
They didn't care about the musical
stupid
aspect.
Stuff. We've said this week. Somebody mentioned Austin Eckler's restricted free agent. I don't see him getting away from.
I don't either.
San Diego.
They know what they've got. He plays for the L.A. Chargers. Fred, stop doing that.
All right, they're San Diego to me. Mama called him San Diego. I'm going to call him San Diego. I can't. I have not turned the page. I don't know why. please quit DMing me on Twitter asking for hockey plays. I don't use Twitter for that.
Ask him for nudes. North Korea?
Definitely not on my list.
Iran?
Iran so far away. No.
Iraq?
Not interested.
I racked my brain and couldn't think of a good reason to go to Iraq. Libya?
Yeah, not interested.
Mali?
I'm not even taking Mali. Why would I go to Mali?
Somalia?
Somebody asks his late hits on after. Yes, it is. Patrick Creighton sitting out there right now, getting ready for the show. Just had a little brief chat with him.
Ready to yell at you!
San Diego, I would live in, though.
San Diego's pretty much one of the most awesome places. San Diego
actually translates to whale's vagina, for what I've heard.
I've heard that, too.
Yeah. Much like yesterday, I don't care that much about sports. There's some we'll actually talk today because we're getting late in the week so we can talk some football.
Yeah, and we really haven't gone over the lines yet.
There's just not a lot going on that tickles my fancy.
You have a fancy?
Oh, yes. I'll show you during the break.
No, that's okay.
I'll show you my fancy.
You don't need to share. I mean, I can grow a beard. It's five different colors. It's like there's gray, there's brown, there's black. There's even like a red color that comes in. It's really strange.
Well, your hair is the same way.
It kind of is. Yeah, there's like patches of different colors. Yeah. But I've kind of tried.
You're like a calico. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid's available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill for me and Fred's fellow vets.
I was a little worried when we let off with Alan Thicke, but it got better in a hurry there.
Hi, I'm Alan Thicke. Do you have problems with the IRS?
Not anymore, you don't, Alan.
Stop.
Dump that. That's an advertiser.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Know that?
Yeah.
I thought it was like a PSA.
I don't want to be an evil cult leader, okay? I don't want to be a cult leader who's...
Cult leaders inherently are evil.
Well, no, not necessarily. I think I'm going to be a user-friendly cult.
Think of the all-time cult leaders. Jim Jones, evil. Yeah. Right? David Koresh, evil.
Was he?
Joel Osteen.
Did you watch that damn show about it that made him look like a hero?
Yeah.
Did you say Joel Osteen?
I didn't say that.
Yeah, you did.
I think Aaron popped his mic on and said that.
Yeah. Stupid stuff. We said this week.
Dude, you can't disrespect Joel Osteen. He's got a direct...
That was... Aaron is the one who said Joel Osteen was a cult leader. That wasn't me.
No, he's got a direct line to God.
Yeah.
I've seen his phone. It's like a red phone.
Every cult leader has a direct line to God. That's okay. Part of the deal.
Well, there you go. Now I'm doing a cult.
When you're anointed cult leader... You just talk to God.
Okay. Awesome. Maybe he could tell me who's going to cover the spread this weekend.
Well, it didn't tell me last week.
Me either. All right. See, if I had been a cult leader, I would have gone 3-0 instead of 0-3.
Merry Christmas, America.
And Nick's Place.
And Nick's Place and others. Thanks to everyone who took part in the Christmas party from 7 a.m. through the rest of the day. I know there's very few left. Most people are throwing up eggnog right now. But shout out to those of you who made it to the end. You are the real heroes. And thank you to Nick.
Nick is the real hero. Nick is the real hero. All right, guys. That's going to wrap it up. Great job, Aaron. Great job.
Nick has a Santa Claus body, but not the beard. I don't know what's going on.
Great job by Hoffman. Great job by both the Knicks out here tonight. Thank you all so much for coming. We'll be back on Monday. Hope you make it home safely. Till Monday, stay sportsy, bitches.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.